This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence to bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and a fraction of the cost. Take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Does it work? Don't think you need it? Try it for a month and see. I think you're going to like it. You could be missing out on some of the best sex of your life. Who knows? I think you're going to like it is a fun way to talk about this. So you want to give a good first and lasting impression. So maybe don't be too afraid of the old Blue Chew. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. We're chewing it and doing it. We're chewing it and chewing it and chewing it. Well, we're doing it. And okay, maybe they don't want me singing unlicensed music, but we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MIGHTY at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code MIGHTY to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, standing 6'2", 295 pounds. That's right, he's under 300 pounds. January monk mode is working on him. It's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born. I thought we were getting rid of you. Abortion is healthcare. Oh, that's why we keep you around. I agree with you, Jackson Maine. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is actually in studio for weekly listeners. You know, he's usually hanging out. But my wife now has her own studio space, so he's sitting behind me. Not on the couch anymore, though, because he pisses and kind of nugs the couch frequently now in his old age. So he's on his own dog bed. This is way too much information for you guys. And enough about my dog. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, first time guest, the host of Out of the Closet Sports, it's Zachary Booth.
Yes. Is there any way that you could just be in my bedroom every morning when I wake up and give me that introduction?
There is one way, Zachary, but I think it'll be complex for both of us.
Yeah, and I'm sure your wife might have some objections, but you know.
She wouldn't have too many questions. Some of her theories would be proven correct, but
I'm sure the dog would be thrilled.
Oh, Arthur would love. He would miss the fact that I heat up a spot on the bed for him. The second I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or anything, he's instantly in my spot, just like riding my butt heat. And like, he's like, oh, this is the most cozy spot in the bed. I'm like, you fucking prick. I need to go there.
Same thing with Theo. Anytime I move in our bed at any point in the night, he just nestles. It's like right between my legs or right up against my back. And now he's got this thing where it's not vicious, but it sounds like he's a velociraptor, like the sounds that he makes. So if I move then near him, he's just like, rawr, rawr, rawr,
rawr. that'll pop you awake here and something. Yeah. That'll get you out of a REM in a heartbeat here and something. Oh,
certainly,
like that.
Certainly.
He's a bit of an old man. So it's a little hard for him to go from laying to standing on like the softness of the bed. It's like hard on his legs. So okay. He's kind of, once he's on his laying on his side, he's kind of like stuck there. He doesn't really adjust too much. And what will happen is I'll roll over on my side, like towards the edge of the bed. And because of my size, I will create a little ramp in the bed. Like I will be pushing down and he'll like roll down it and I'll feel him like hit my back. And because of where he is and how I am, I actually can't do anything. Like, I can't go back because I'll crush him. And I can't with my arms reach him and move him, and he can't stand up and move over. So I literally have to like wake up, stand up, pick him up like forklift style and move him like over a foot to just get back into bed. And the frequency in which I do this, rather than like we're in too deep to have trained him not to be in bed with us, like where this is,
sure.
He's 14 and a half. God knows how much longer he's with us, but he's not going to be not in the bed. There's no way we can do it now. So now I've like completely, and every time, every day, there's like a new study about how like sleep will keep you alive. And if you get bad sleep, you'll die and have cancer or whatever. And I'm like, every night I'm in the middle of the night, I'm like, please move over. You're fucking 20 pounds and you're ruining my fucking life. And I'm like, he's going to be my cause of death. He's going to outlive me as a senior dog because he's got me up all fucking night.
Yeah, we lost the battle too. I think when my partner had our dog first, and so I think he had just become accustomed to sleeping in the bed. And then when I showed up, he sits, like if I'm sitting, he sits on my legs. And if I'm sleeping, he likes to sleep on top of my legs. And of course, like what the internet tells you is it's because he thinks he owns you. You know, so like my partner is obviously like the alpha to this dog.
Right. And you're his like, dog.
Yeah, I'm his dog, or at best, like on a good day, I'm part of the pack.
Right. You are a fellow dog in Theo's mind. Like, you and I so, better. Hey, dad, the pack leader says it's time to eat dinner if you're hungry. You're like, so what the fuck, man?
He does wait, too. He waits for us to eat. Like, he grazes. I don't know. That's like a thing, you know, whatever. Yeah. All the dog lingo is now infected my vocabulary. But he's a grazer. We don't, like, give him food once a day. He just has the food.
Right.
But he won't touch it. Like, he'll touch one or two pieces here and there and play with them like a psycho. But he waits until I eat or my partner eats, and then he just goes to town on his food. So he really is like connected. Like, he does think that we're all giant, some giant unit.
That's something I think you hear about, like they won't eat till the pack leader eats. He won't eat until we get back from somewhere and we learn from some dog or we heard from some dog behavioral person that it's like there's a little element of him that's like, if they don't come back, I better make sure I have, they're the people who give me food. Like, I shouldn't eat this.
That's just smart.
I know. And I'm like, that's really smart. And also depressing. I'm like, dad went out for cigarettes and never refilled my bowl or whatever.
No, that's actually a lot more intelligent than I ever would have given him credit for.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's great. Good for them.
Every once in a while, my wife will be like, what is Arthur up to? And I'll be like, keep in mind, his brain is the size of a ping pong ball, like inside his little skull. Like, he's like, we can't fully understand. Like, he's not, we're projecting way too much human thought and emotion on the dog currently. It's like, I think he's a little embarrassed because he farted. It's like, does he know embarrassment? Like, I'm not sure. But then he'll like go to jump up on the couch and like wipe out a little. And then you look at him and he's like, he's got like a weird posture, like, oops. And I'm like, maybe he does feel shame. Not that I want him to, but that is a sign of like a complex organism.
I think my dog outthinks me on a regular basis, and mostly it is surrounding the bed, and it's a little embarrassing. But I'm just gonna come clean to you. You know, now that we've known each other 4.5 minutes or whatever it is, I think I can reveal my deepest, darkest secret.
I'm being bullied by my dog.
Yeah, I'm getting outsmarted by my dog because I advocated for a while. I was like, we got to get the dog out of the bed. It's just not like I'm the one that he sleeps on top of. I'm the one that he thinks he owns. I'm the one that's getting bitten in the middle of the night. Like, let's move on. And so we started to get him off the bed. And then, of course, like that whole situation fell apart. But now he does, like, he'll hang out at first and then he'll get off the bed. And like, it's like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to let them think I'm not going to be sleeping up there. And then like half an hour after I pass out, like when I wake up in the morning, he's there again. And then a few minutes after I wake up, if I move around a little bit, like he'll get off for a few minutes, you know, but he's like, yeah, they probably don't know. I'm sleeping up there all the time. Idiots, stupid people.
I lull him into a sense of complacency and then I win. Like, yeah, all right, exactly. Theo, you find like weird blueprints of his, like he's got like little plans with like strings attached and shit, like
schedule.
Yeah. He's tall human does this at 3, like black and white photos of you and shit, like you're under surveillance and shit.
He ties a bell to my toe to make sure I don't move in the night. And the second he hears it, he's like, time to get down.
So that's first thing in the morning. I better walk Zachary. Come on, let's go, bud. You're like, huh?
We have one of those, you know, the talking buttons.
Yes. Did you do that?
Okay, well, no, I didn't do it like the internet did it, where they're like, you stupid bitch,
yeah,
or slut, slut,
feed me,
fuck you,
dumpster,
yeah. Feed me, jerk, I hate you. Like, I don't know what's going on in those videos. You can't trust the internet. We have a outside button that, like, if I lead him to it, he'll push it. And then we go outside. I'm not really sure it's doing anything. Like, I don't think it's enhancing his life, and it's certainly not like making it any easier for us. Like, he isn't preemptively giving us the outside. Right. He'll hit it. Now he knows it's there, and he knows he's going to hit it before he goes outside. But I have to be like, Theo, you want to go outside? And then he's like, runs over and hits the button. And I'm like, well, yeah, you were going to go out either way. So I don't know how we progress from here. If you have any suggestions, I'd be happy to hear.
Yeah. I don't, that's a great question. I'm sure there's something like, you got to go like the traditional conditioning route of like, make him tap it whenever he wants to go outside. And then when you feel the vibe that he wants to go outside, be like, well, what do we do here, Theo? Remember, tap the button. But then you're like, what am I, like, he's got to go outside a few times a day. That's just part of the job, right? And you're like, yeah, now I got to wait for him to like verbalize it, like this poor guy.
And then I wonder if like I'm gone, you know, if we're not here during the day.
And
like,
your neighbor,
I
just
wonder,
hears outside, outside,
yeah,
outside. He's like, yeah, help me. Please, I'm learning.
Have you seen those videos, though? The people like that have like 6 or 7 buttons set up for their dog, and they're having these full interactive conversations with them?
No. Yeah. And then the dog hits like, yes, yes.
Yeah. I really don't buy it. There's some that are like, they can sense your sickness, and it's like, okay, okay, sick, sick, sad. Like, I don't know. It's not what I've seen. Not any dog I've seen.
No, it's a bummer that you can't fully trust everything. Now, I do believe there are dogs that can, like, sense when an epileptic fit is coming on. And it's not, like, magic intuition. It's, like, their heightened senses of, like, their body language change or the scent they're revealing change. Like, I get that there are bloodhounds that can find bed bugs. Like, I believe all that stuff. And I believe a dog can learn that when I push this button, everyone gets happy. Do I understand that I'm saying, like, imagine Shrek naked? No, I just know I'm pushing the button that makes all the humans giggle and laugh and get excited or give me like, I don't think they understand, like, the, and every dog owner you talk to will tell you how smart and how different and how human-like their dog is, right? Like, that's it can't be, I believe it because I feel the same way about art, but that's just not universally true. Like, that's just us all projecting. Like, that is a person. Like,
yeah,
it is a tiny, furry person. Yeah.
If I stared at a rock for hours on end every day and talked to it about all of its important bodily functions, you know, I might start to think that rock had a personality.
Right. If I just kept going to the rock, what's wrong, baby? Tell me. What's wrong, baby? Tell me.
You want to go outside?
Seems sad. Yeah, you want to go out to pick up a rock, throw it in the yard. He's having a blast out there. It's time for him to come in. It's getting cold. If you're cold, the rocks are cold. Transition from dogs to gay sports. I don't even have like a segue that I could rip there. But,
yeah, no, I'm just picturing like a greyhound racing on a track. I mean, that is a pretty gay, sporty image. That's the best I can do.
There's just something about greyhounds being so like regal and lithe that give them off, like that give them a sort of like gay male vibe, you know, like traditional,
certainly.
Like, oh, it's got gams, this thing. Oh, it's kind of ripped. Its coat is gorgeous. It has like a little bit of like a diva mentality to it. When you pitched the idea of talking about, I saw the name of your podcast was Out of the Closet Sports. This is something that's been on my mind, like weirdly a lot, because I'm 42. I'm grew up in the 80s and 90s in sort of like jock culture on Long Island, where weirdly enough, somehow gay and sports were antithetical to each other.
Entirely.
And then when I got to be in my 20s living in New York City and competing still in like playing club rugby and, you know, doing sports, I was starting to be like, first of all, by the classic mouth breather 90s mentality of what was gay, sports is very gay. Like, just like the fact that it's like, dude, no chicks is like already we're setting up like a sort of. And then as I'm like, wait, there's no way there's no way every single person that plays this sport, just pure numbers, is straight. It just can't happen. And then when you live in Manhattan, you meet the gay rugby team, and you're like, there's enough gay people in Manhattan that also the Venn diagram of also play rugby. And then you meet, like, perfect conversation I had with my dad in like 08, who's an older high school dropout. He's older. My dad was older than me, surprising everyone.
wow, that is such a unique experience you had.
I know, it's just a way kind of affected how I was brought up, you know, having a dad who was older than me.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, it was different. It was a weird. I was such a weirdo at school. but I found out that the Gotham Knights is the name of the gay rugby team in New York. And there's also a high-level gay rugby team in San Francisco called the All Pinks. And they, in reference to like the New Zealand team, is called the All Blacks. And they're and they're really good. And I was telling my dad this story, and he's like, can you imagine a bunch of gay guys playing rugby? That must be so. And I was like, wait, no, Dad, it's in 09. Like, if you should go to like a gym in Chelsea and see what gay dudes look like now, they don't look like the thing you're thinking of. They don't look like what's his Hollywood from Mannequin. Like that, like gay guys, some do, some still do. That style's still strong. But there are gay like guys who look like bodybuilders and powerlifters and linebackers and wide receivers. And I'm like, look at the guys on this team. Those two guys, they're gay. They make me look like a... And the bear community is blossoming at this time. I'm like, the guys who look like professional wrestlers, the hairy, beefy dudes with huge beards and big muscles, those guys are gay too, Dad. And like it like blew his mind. He was like, I'm like, yeah, it's... it's gotten so big and accepted. It's such a bigger culture now that there's more than one way to identify yourself. I'm telling... Shit, no, of course everybody knows, but to go through that process in my 20s, I was like, this, my whole childhood, everything was like, sports is manly and not doing sports is gay. And you know, and like, I'm from the era and the kind of family that like the fact that I like liked movies so much made me like the gay one in my family. It's like that was enough. And it's like my cousin who wanted to be a history professor, everyone was like, he's gay. I'm like, he's married to a woman. She has short hair. It's like, oh, yeah. God. Like, he's in. And like to explain like short-haired women, like I'm like, why am I talking to you about this, Uncle Jimmy? Like, this makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, let me blow your mind, Uncle Jimmy. Let me take you. Let me take you out to the rugby pitch and blow your mind. No, dude, I you know, I'm a Westchester kid. Like, I was born in '82, and I grew up in Westchester. I mean, our bubbles were
very similar,
very close to each other.
Where, you know? My wife's from Westchester. She went to Hen Hud in Croton.
I'm from Irvington, which is like halfway between Manhattan and Croton.
Yeah, I'm familiar. So I commuted on the Metro North from Poughkeepsie to Manhattan for my internship. So I know all the stops.
It's a good train.
It's a great train ride. Read a lot of books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, I grew up in that same, you know, culture, and I don't think it's like a super unique thing, but it is interesting that we have like that much of an intersection. I mean, I did not expect like the way, yeah, to me, jocks and gays were about as like far apart as you could possibly get. And right. Like your entire last monologue, which was great, was like tickling me inside, because that is literally, you just gave like a recap of the entire first season of Out of the Closet Sports, because that is like, I didn't really know where we were going with it, and it really became more of just a conversation about like how sports are so gay, and like finding gay people that like sports is so hard. Finding gay people that are engaged in sports can be so challenging. But then once you do it, there's like there. It's seemingly like once you pull back and look, and they're everywhere. You know,
it feels and like our, they were like gay people were purposefully excluded from fandom, kind of by the toxic heterosexuality energy around it. But once that barrier has been broken down, it's like, you can be a Clippers fan. Yeah, anyone can be a Clippers fan. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just such it's such a obvious thing of like, oh yeah, no shit. But for the longest time, it was like, you know, it was crazy when you would meet like a girl that liked football. Like, you'd be like, that's, and now it's like, you go to the bar and there's 20 chicks in Patriots jerseys watching. I'm saying chicks in 2024 also, so you can tell what kind of guy I am.
Yeah, you'll pay for that one way or another.
Yeah, I'm getting pepper sprayed tonight.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're like, you know, if you look at it in terms of like, okay, so let's take like the, you know, the hottest guy in the senior class, and we're going to take the burliest dude in the senior class, and they're going to get out on the field, and both of them are going to put on spandex pants and like a tight fitting shirt. And then the burly guy's going to bend over and grab a ball. And then the hot, you know, hero hunk Ken doll guy is going to tap him on the taint until he passes him the ball. Yo, but keep that gay stuff out of here,
guys,
man.
None of this gay shit. Everyone in the locker room hogs out going like, yo, good thing none of us are gay, huh, bro? Yeah. So like high-fiving each other and shit.
Yeah, man. It really blew my mind. Like I started playing, in a gay softball league. The guy that I started the podcast with, he was at one point played with Gotham Knights.
Oh, cool.
He was a big rugby player. They played football. You know, they were a big athlete, you know, really into that. And at some point their husband had been playing in the Big Apple Softball League, which is the, you know, New York queer softball league. And so I had gone to some of their games and I was like, yeah, not really for me. But then in 2019, I was sort of going through something. I probably went through a breakup and was feeling a little lonely.
Right.
Let me go check this out. And like every Saturday on Randall's Island in Manhattan in the summer and into the fall, you go out there and there are like hundreds and hundreds of gay people running around playing softball. Like the league is gigantic and it encompasses like all genders and sexual identities. And like, there's a ton of straight people that play in the league because they've started to discover that that the energy is a lot less toxic.
Right. And know? Also that's like the power of New York City in its great way too. It's like, you know, like I played on a rugby team that was like one of my most weirdly diverse experiences in life, because it's just like what we had in common is that we were New Yorkers who wanted to play rugby. There was a couple of gay guys who wanted to be on a slightly more competitive team than the Gotham Knights. There was, you know, a Colombian guy who played rugby in Colombia, a bunch of Brits, a bunch of Aussies. And it was just like all this group of people. I'm like, oh, yeah, if you switch the umbrella to just people who want to play softball, and you put that umbrella over the island of Manhattan or the five boroughs, you're going to get a couple of hardcore firefighter, straight mouth breathing bros, but you're going to get a ton of bartenders, a ton like of all the ilks of people that live in Manhattan. You're going to end up. So no matter. And then like you call it's a queer softball league is going to cast that huge umbrella too, to an also point where it's like, well, I'm one of those straight guys that has. My wife worked in marketing forever, and not to profile or stereotype gay men, but that's a gay male heavy. Like so many of my friends are gay adult men, that to the point where I find myself at the straight guy at gay events. Like, and
yeah,
like,
good. You should feel that way. You should feel like the outcast.
Yeah, it feels great. It feels, as a big hairy bearded guy, it feels great. but like if I played softball and these guys all played, they're like, Gabriel, you want to be on my softball team? I, you know, to me now it wouldn't be like the gay softball league. It would just be like I play softball with my friends, and like that's such a that's such a cool thing. And like I'm rambling here a little, but like I know that the gay community speaks so much of like found family, and if that's not like. Found team is not like an extension of that. That is like something that's, and especially like if you're an older gay person, like it wasn't that easy to find a sports team 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Like it, you know, it had to be a little more difficult. So like that's so beautiful. I'm so happy that we're that exists now. Like in the same blow up of like women's sports in general, it's like, everyone who wants to play something should have an opportunity. And if now with the communication methods that are available, it's like, hey, how many people who identify as, you know, across this spectrum want to play softball? And 500 hands go up. You're like, well, fuck, we have a league. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's super, super popular. And like the guys that that started this league in New York, like they taught, they, some of them still play. They're in their like 70s and 80s and like they manage or they, you know, they'll like pinch hit from time to time. They like hang out on the bench and they coach us, you know, and they talk about how in the beginning, like it was an act of protest, you know,
right.
Like they were really out there because the games used to be, you know, in Central Park and, you know, before those fields were so like hard to get a hold of, you know,
right.
Because there are so many sports leagues now anyway. So everybody's bidding for these fields. But yeah, these guys were out there, you know, playing softball together in Central Park. And it, to them, it was an act of protest. It was like, yeah, we're openly queer. We're out here. We're playing sports. And, you know, people don't like it. People may not like it. The funniest thing for me is the umps. Like the umps that we get. It's not like we get like special gay umps.
Right.
And that is the place where I really am just like, wow, like there is so much room for progress, like one human at a time. Because these are just the guys that ump.
That would ump games. They're from the Bronx. They're from Staten Island. Yeah. They're here to,
whatever.
They're like, I make they're a little like, money yeah, on the yeah. weekends umping games. It's like, I got the gay league.
Give me $90.
Yeah,
exactly. Like he doesn't care that the dude has like fairy wings on or like is wearing a unicorn hat or, you know. Like,
it's a strike. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care what.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Exactly.
They struck. Out, you know,
like, yeah, exactly. Well, and he's got to get that right, you
yeah.
know?
That's so amazing. That's that reminds me just a funny detail someone once told me. The cameramen for the Daily Show, because it's like a yeah. New York Union studio job, these are all yeah. guys who are Trump voters, more or less.
Yeah.
Like, but they're just like, yeah, I don't fucking agree with this John Stewart guy at all. But hey, you know, I get fucking yeah. Union rates all week long. I work 4 days a week. I can't complain, you know? And it's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
you just get and, caught you know, maybe... up in this world. And you're like, oh, right. Not everyone who is involved. The guy who's, you know, lining the baseball pitch isn't like a queer icon necessarily. Like that's the person who works at Randall's Park. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just trying to get paid. And you know, he's probably, he probably has an experience while he's there that maybe changes his outlook on the world. Who knows, you know, but like sometimes you just want to go and play sports and it's not that deep. Right.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you just want to get together, you know, with your friends. And I think like, that's the other side of it. That's the side of it that like, that's something that can help, I think, diffuse some of the toxicity and like some of the stuff, you know, whatever. I was a kid. Like I was such a homophobic kid. I was like that. I was the guy calling you the F word. Like I was just like, I had the insecurities. So I was just going to lead with confidence and aggression. You know, I was like funny. I got along with people. I had a hot sister. My brother played football. Like people were going to be nice to me,
right.
You know? And I was like, I'm going to just be, you know, a powerhouse, whatever. No one's going to see inside my secrets. So I was out there, you know, saying that stuff left and right. But I think really like what that sort of like straight sport community needs to understand is that people just want to play sports, you know,
right.
Like that's just what they want to do. They just want to be a part of it and they don't want to be excluded and they don't want to be bullied. They just want to feel like they're welcome, you know?
Right.
And like, not for nothing, like you guys are sitting there and all you want to talk about is like, you know, tits and ass, you know, like you're just like, oh, her, so hot, whatever, da da da. Okay, well, we're also human beings.
Right.
You know,
right.
So like we're going to talk about your ass too.
Right.
But like that's actually not a threat to your, you know, that's not a threat to your masculinity.
And if you believe that is, then maybe you shouldn't be talking about a woman's ass either, because then you're threatening
yeah.
her. Like if,
exactly.
if you, like it's, you know, six and one, half a dozen of the other.
I know. Now it sounds like I'm advocating for sexual harassment.
Yeah.
It's like
everyone
I came on
should
your
be
podcast,
able to say
just
whatever they
like,
want about
hold
asses.
On. We should be able to harass each other is what I'm trying
just
to say.
Just a little, you know? Hey, it's sports, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we should all be a little more respectful of each other's bodies. But I just mean in the sense, right, that they're so you're so threatened. They get so sensitive.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Well, nothing is going to happen to you.
And I like, think no, that's what, like, people must have seen by now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there must be a large swath of people who are like, I actually had two gay guys on my high school soccer team and it was not unusual. Like it,
yeah.
they were just like the rest of us. One of them was good at soccer. One of them wasn't. Like that
well,
had nothing to do with them being gay. Right.
Yeah, exactly. You talked about the numbers earlier and just like, if we're going to look, you know, there was a coach in the NFL this year who came out. It was like a strength and conditioning coach. I think he's on the, I want to say he's on the Jacksonville, plays for, works for Jacksonville. Kevin Maxson, I think his name is. And he's like the first male identifying like NFL coach to come out of the closet, right? Like, just think how many like thousands and like, I think right now there isn't an out male identifying athlete in professional sports in the United States. There was one guy left on the soccer team in San Diego, but I think that soccer team went under for some reason. Right. So he hasn't popped up on a new team yet. But you're like, yeah, no, sorry. Like, that's just not possible.
Just pure probability, pure numbers game. There's no way every single one of those persons enjoy like is a heterosexual male. Like,
us
just,
two scientists here.
Trust us. We crunched the numbers.
Yeah, I was sitting back there and I had my calculator out, my TI-89. What were those?
We're just like at a stadium going, straight or gay, coach. Straight. Yeah, okay, yeah. Another one. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Sure. Sure. That one is like, oh, I hope he's gay. But, you know.
Are you sure, coach? Come on. Yeah. Tight
you
ends?
Think about
tight ends
it? Hello.
Are your specialty? Come on.
Wide receiver? I don't think so. But, you know, there is some interesting stories that we found this year. Like, there was a young couple of guys who played in, I think Division III college baseball, and they came out, did an article in the, you know, their local news that got picked up by some national outlets where they were just, you know, they fell in love playing baseball. They were on opposite teams. You know, the guy was like, one guy was sort of knew he was gay. The other guy hadn't really talked about it. And, you know, it's a great story. You know, you're just like, how bold these people can be.
It was just a bummer that we're both pitchers. Just to bring it back to a 90s joke.
I can tell that you've been hanging out with all these marketing guys. You know, that's gotta go over well with the marketing guys.
I mean, if there is a section of the gay community that might be considered a little close-minded or homophobic, it is 40-plus wealthy white gay men are like...
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
I'm like, you're almost as bad as my toxic uncle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. No, and this isn't also, I should point out that like the world of gay softball is not toxic-free.
No, of course not. And that's what's real. It's like, of course it's not all... Some gay people are assholes. You know,
yeah,
some,
exactly. Like, and a lot of gay people are assholes, and they exclude each other based on how the other people look, and they only want to talk to people that they want to have sex with, or, you know, whatever it is. Dude, it challenges, you know, my whatever the hell, you know, prejudices that I have against people. Like, I get out there and I'm like, wow, yeah, I guess I really, you know, I'm not as open-minded as I think I am, because I'm like gravitating, you know, of course, towards, you know, the boys that
you're
I want to touch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here I am back to sexually harassing people. I'm gonna get kicked out of the league.
They're like, hey, we heard you on gay. Hey, a bunch of us gay softball players listen to High and Mighty, and we are like, whoa, I had no idea.
I was really worried. I had the first episode that I did Out of the Closet Sports. I was talking about the league, and I was talking about playing, and like, we have, like, there are managers in the league, and this is like, it sounds like the most self-hating behavior possible, right? We have this team. It's like mostly gay people. There's a couple of straight guys. Well, my manager in particular, he goes to work. Like, he works at a school, and he'll talk to somebody like, yeah, you play softball? Like, I said, yeah, I play. Oh, how well do you play? Like, he finds the best softball players he can find in his life, straight guys, and then convinces them to come play in the league. So like, they play like half our games, and then the playoffs come, and all of a sudden, like, the middle of our lineup is just these like jack straight dudes, and
like ringers, yeah, hetero, yeah, ringers. That's so,
yeah,
funny,
exactly. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, something feels, I love winning, but it feels kind of icky. And then I was like, yep, they're gonna hear me talking about this on the podcast, and that's gonna be it. But they gave me the MVP trophy, so I guess,
ooh,
I'm still in their good graces. Yeah, proud of that.
That makes me think the rugby league that I played in New York City, we played a bunch of, you know, seaboard and tri-state area club teams. But there was a rule that only like 7 of your starting 22 or 10 of your starting 22 could be international. Because And apparently that's how my team, the Village Lions, my old club, it started by the bartender at the bar, the Village, an Irish guy moved to New York, bought a bar called the Village Lion, wanted to make a rugby team, and just started bringing other Irish guys from Ireland that were good at rugby and being like, I can get you a job as a bartender, busboy, or bouncer, depending on your skills, and then you'll play on my rugby team. And then he put up a side of like 15 Irish nationals, and it's like, okay, if it's going to be in this like American league, it's got to be, we can't, so that there's always this constant balance of like, well, we have four Kiwis and four Aussies starting. We can't. And so it's going to, I feel like the gay league's going to end up being like, you're allowed to have four straight guys in the starting nine.
Yeah,
that's it. Four exactly. straight people.
Yeah, but I guess it's a little easier to test a passport than it is to to test somebody's gayness. It's like, all right, we need you to prove that you're gay. So we're gonna need yeah. your hot shortstop's gonna have to come behind the bleachers. And
I mean, imagine like you get brought in front of like the league tribunal, and you have like these three obvious straight ringers being like, mm-hmm. well, I. One time when I was jerking off, I thought of Henry Cavill, and it's like, okay, okay. You know, the Q is a big umbrella.
Yes. So we've reviewed your Instagram, and we noticed the complete lack of posts about Beyonce, Madonna.
Abundance of shirtless gym pics, which puts them in the positive category here.
Which we appreciate, but do not indicate homosexuality. Therefore, the board has decided...
A little tiny hammer. Straight.
I swear I'm gay. I promise.
I think I could do it. I'm at least bi.
That's what we need. This is so meta. We've gotten to the place where we've got the straight people begging to be identified as gay. Please, please.
There feels like a little bit of that, like in certain like creative communities of like, well, I'm like, okay, I feel like you're getting like, my friend Mono always accuses me of having stolen bi valor, is what he says. He's like, you're just flirty enough and just like, you know, do enough, make enough choices and act a certain way that, you know, it's like, you know, bi baiting or you're stuff. And I'm like, sorry.
I love that.
I will not suck dick. Is all, okay? That's all you're going to hear from me.
That's where I draw the line.
That, to me, is too gay.
No, he sucked my dick. I'm not gay.
I told you. It was too gay for me to suck dick. Getting my dick sucked by buff men? Come on.
What was I supposed to do? Look, the Equinox in Chelsea had the best machines. It worked with my schedule. It was closest to my home. I can't help what happened in the steam room.
David Barton just has better squat racks.
David, that's a throwback. That we were just talking about.
That was one of my first real eye-opening experiences.
I bet.
Opened a lot of eyes. Just the idea of... Like, and again, I'm in my early 20s, new to, moved to New York City, I mean, from Long Island, which is 50 years away, but 45 minutes. Yeah. Moved there, I immediately joined theater, doing UCB, which has got an abundance of, like, I now have quadrupled the amount of gay people I know in my life.
You're in Chelsea.
And I'm walking from to the train in Chelsea, going out for drinks after UCB in Chelsea all the time. So I'm getting a little more steeped in gay culture and gay bars. And then I make this connection about the gym. And to me, the gym as a meathead growing up on Long Island was like a very masculine thing to do. And now is when I put together that masculinity and homosexuality are not separate. Like, for some people it is, but for some, I'm like, it came to me and I was just like saying things like, well, who better to understand the male form than someone who looks at it with a different gaze than I do? And I'm looking at buff guys growing up. I was like an Arnold Schwarzenegger, Van Damme. I'm like, who's buffer? Who's got a better body? Who can fight better? Like, I want to be buff. I'm looking at muscle magazines, all this stuff that I'm thinking is like super macho. And then I walked, and then David Barton gym was like the thing that like linked those two thoughts in my head. I walked past it one day and saw like six handsome men walking in with gym bags at like 10:30 p.m. And I'm like, all these guys are going to work out. And like my gay buddy's like, yeah, they're all there to work out. And I'm like, oh my God, why would? And I'm like, and then one other eye-opening gay culture thing was a friend of mine was like, yeah, me and my husband are in an open marriage. And I was like, oh, that's wild. I could never do that with my wife. And he goes, yeah, because you're not two men. And I was like, oh. And he's like, right. Don't you think like men have a certain, and I'm like, oh my God. And then it all like came, like, I like just this whole, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you're like, oh, gay guys are kind of like women. And then when you get older, you're like, no, they are men who fuck men. It's the only difference. Like, that's what they are.
Entirely. And I do think you'll find more and more, you know, I've heard more and more straight couples that are experimenting in non-traditional, you know, non-monogamy. Ethical non-monogamy is a huge thing now. Like, dating apps now that are specifically designed for couples that are like looking for a third. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I've heard of it.
I've heard of it.
I downloaded it just for research for an interview once. That's all, babe.
Yeah, just research for the podcast. Yeah. But there is like also some, there's like a weird, it's a weird intersection, right? To think that like I grew up in this world where like sports and masculinity and all this stuff was so exclusive. And then of gayness, right? It just was like, you're not welcome here. Right. Anything that is perceived as the least bit gay is going to be called out and shunned. And then if you like on an average day, if you go to the place where like the most physical fitness, the most sporty activity is happening in New York City, you're also going to find like the highest, you know, concentration of gay people just hanging out.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, sure. I mean, like it is, did we need to turn every steam room into a sex dungeon? I don't think we did, you know, and this is going to get me in trouble. You know, I'm no longer going to be allowed to go into any gay bars now that I've said this. I do think, like, as much as I've had a good time in a lot of these establishments, do I think we've crossed the line a little bit? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
Funny. I remember there was a bar on 8th Avenue or 9th Avenue in Chelsea called Jim. And they were like,
oh, yeah, gym bar.
Yeah. And people were like, there's a locker room there. I'm like, at the bar? They're like, yeah. I was like, yeah. That's fucking awesome. Like, not for me, but I love the idea that fucking exists. And like, just get, I now live in, and have been for like over a decade living in West Hollywood. So I'm a little steeped in Boys Town a little bit over here. And I go to a gym right here in the heart of Hollywood and in the heart of WeHo. And when I did the tour for the gym, because I was trying to find a new gym, I wanted something close, the owner is taking me around and he's like, and we have plans to expand and put a sauna in here, showers downstairs. And then he goes, and me and my husband, we both separately manage the Equinox in West Hollywood. So our showers will be single stall. We're not doing that again. They were like older, 40-something-year-old gay. They were like, we're not doing this again. Not at this gym. This gym's going to be about working out. And it was really, and he was like, and I could tell he's like putting feelers out for me. I'm like, I am a classic over the plate heterosexual, but appreciated. Like I'm not like, I'd be fine in a steam room, I think, like, you know, but whatever. But it was like, I was like, that's not something I even thought to think about. And he's like, and he said it like he had been through like Woodstock or something. He's like, we are not doing that again. Like,
I have seen it all. Right. I've been to war and back again.
And you saying like, do we need to do it at every gym? Is maybe not true, but it's the best gyms are like the fucking gyms made for the best gyms for me, a man, are always gyms that are populated by gay dudes. Cause it's like the weights and cardio and saunas and all the shit that men like, who it doesn't matter. Yeah. Besides who we fuck, we agree on everything else fitness wise. Like the only limitation. And then my gym also has the women who feel safe training in like sports bras and short shorts there because it's all gay guys and just like six straight dudes at any given moment. It's like, happy to be here.
I am really curious what the lesbian steam room culture is. Like, I haven't ever asked if it goes down.
That's like interesting. I'm very curious about that. I mean, I'm curious about that.
Of course you are.
I've been curious about that since I was 14. Yeah.
In my mind, like, you know, it's just like it's not the same thing where, like, you know, it's really going down. It's a little
women
more
are just
like,
not to overgeneralize, but women are a little more polite or gentle whatever the word you want. I'm going to say it, and I don't mean this with any judgment. Women are just a little less disgusting in general.
Truly. In my fantasy of a lesbian steam room.
Well, I can show you the drawings of my fantasy of a lesbian steam room.
Yes, like, please.
It's all over my notebook.
I just see like the one, you know, the one woman just sitting there, just all out in the open, making eye contact and saying hello to everyone.
Like the sort of alpha female of like.
Yeah, just emotional manipulation. Just like, how are you? Did you have a nice workout?
Yeah. If, to keep the stereotype up, there's like one artsy lesbian with some line drawing tattoos and like fogged up glasses that she has to keep wiping. And she's like a little nervous around this like alpha stud lesbian.
Oh, the wiping the glasses and the steam. That's always the thing that gets me. Like I wear contacts and in my days of really as an active steamer, I will say, in my day of being an active steamer, I would like sometimes I would forget.
That feels like something that's on a field profile.
active steamer. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm down for anything. I'm versatile, switch, BDSM, active steamer, whatever you'd like.
Having an active steamer meetup this weekend at the Equinox on 72nd Street.
Just one weird, old straight dad is there in like Arc'teryx, not understanding like what everyone was, what the post was about.
I feel like if you live in New York and you're a man and you go to a gym, like you just know.
Yeah.
You just know. And the guys that, like the straight friends of mine that complain to me about it, I just am like, why are you complaining? Like what? Like, you know, you knew when you got there, you're still going.
Yeah.
Is it
fun? I want to say, and I don't know if this is like the right or polite thing to say, but I want to say to like straight guys who have that complaint, it's like, bro, we're on their turf. Like the gym belongs to gay men. Like we
you're
are
in
visiting.
My world yeah, now. Exactly. Yes. This is my world. Welcome.
Harvey Fierstein is the epitome
Hi,
of Jim.
How are you? You're in my world now.
That makes me think of one of that movie Boiler Room that all my fucking mouth-breathing, you know, finance friends loved growing up. There's a line in that where Scott Conn like yells at some gay guys at the next door table. He's like, they should put all you queers on an island somewhere. And the gay guy responds, honey, you're on it. Like because they're in Manhattan.
Yep.
And I was like, that was like another moment for me. I'm like, oh yeah, the city is sort of theirs as well. Like it's the city is just too much of a melting pot for any one person to claim like this type of person doesn't belong there. And I just was the realest thing of like, yeah, Manhattan is fucking gay, dude. Like there's two gay neighborhoods. Like that's a lot. Probably, you know, if you throw Hell's Kitchen in there, you got probably got three now.
Oh,
yeah.
You definitely got Chelsea and Hell's Kitchen. And you
West
have
Village
to include the West Village.
For like the older generation.
Yeah.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why I, for the last, 3 years? 2 years? 2 to 3 years? I've been drinking AG1 every day. No exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on the day. I talk about it all the time, but I just love a simple, easy step to kick my day off in a healthy direction. And with AG1, since each serving delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more, it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully easy to get going. I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with the vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from normal food, from my whole foods and stuff like that. But I know with AG1, I'm also covering some other bases that I'm filling in some gaps. And I do it first thing in the morning because I like to do that. It gets me 12 to 16 ounces of cold water. First thing in the morning, you know, you just spent 8 hours sleeping or 7 hours sleeping. And then, boom, you wake up and you're ready to rip. You're thirsty. Your body needs fluids. And then you get your water, you get AG1, and your whole day is ready to go. Everything you've done so far today has been healthy choices. You keep linking those all together till you go to bed, and boom, you've had yourself a truly healthy day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, come on, it's AG1. You hear the ads. That's why I've partnered with them for so long. They got the goods. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's drinkag1.com/mighty. Check it out. To be the old man, we're both 82. To be the old man, it feels like the younger generations, the 20s, the kids who are in their 20s now, is like there's less delineation between gay and straight. It feels
exactly.
like. It feels like yeah. it's more like I was just talking about this with other old straight male friends of mine.
Well, that's a good cross section.
Yeah, you know, just sitting there. How do you guys feel about? But you'll like meet young people who are like, "This is my boyfriend." Like a woman will say, "This is my boyfriend," and the guy in general in this conversation would be what if they acted this way in the or looked this way in the 90s, you'd be like, "This is a gay man." Like this is like,
yeah.
All the signs that I, you know, developed the stereotypes, whatever you want to call them. I want to frame, and I'm like, but he just, gay doesn't mean like this is what the one thing we do. And you know what I mean? Like it's yeah. such a, and I'm like, it's so eye opening to see like younger generations of like, yeah, we're both bi and we're married or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, like that's all like blows, like that's all so new to me. But
it's like, yeah, you're old.
Yeah.
We're old.
Yeah.
That's when I feel the oldest when I start talking about this stuff. Oh, well, that and like, you know, pop culture, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah,
like, but,
well,
yeah,
I think no, of my dad time. And my dad being like, me having to say to my dad, I'm like, I don't think gay guys are what you think they are anymore. And now I have to like think gay people aren't what you think they are anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
There's more letters than ever before. And like, it's just not as big of a deal, it feels like. I mean, I have a smaller sample size as someone who lives in metropolitan areas and works in arts and entertainment. So like my yeah. sample size is specific, but as far as I can tell from the younger generation, none of that shit matters to them.
Like, no, I don't
they
think
have,
so.
Like, they have strong identities and that matters to them that I am, they are blank, but they have no, it's like, you know, this is our friend group. Like this is my partner. We are both have these super specific identities, but it doesn't matter to us. This is who we and I'm like, that's so fucking like, that's great. It's objectively wonderful, but it is so new and cool. Like it's yeah. like feels utopian in some way, like as the world is burning all around us, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's all burning the ground, but at least we're deconstructing traditional masculinity. You know, like
at least the
penguins don't have anywhere to go, but you know, you can wear those high waisted pants and still have a girlfriend and yeah. everyone's cool with it.
I mean, I'm benefiting from it greatly, you know, like I'm wearing bikini briefs and sarongs at the beach and like no one is just automatically assuming I'm gay. And you know what I mean? Like there's
a sarong is a beautiful item.
Oh, dude.
When you feel that breeze, it's come on. Nothing compares.
I love wearing a Speedo or a Budgie Smuggler at the beach or at the pools. And I would always wear board shorts over them for like walking around or going to order food or something like that. Always felt like
I do that too.
I should probably cover yeah. up. Then I was just like in Polynesia, in Tahiti and Bora Bora and those islands. And a lot of the dudes, the Polynesian dudes, were wearing like sarongs or even short sarongs, like knee length sarongs over bikinis and stuff, and I was like, that's my next step. Forget boardies. Yeah. That's a better yeah. choice. And now I'm pushing it. Like when I wear that shit around my family at home in Montauk, Long Island, you know, my nephews have questions. Why are your toes painted? Why do you have the little bathing suit on? And I love being that Hollywood uncle of like, well, because I like color. And that's why yeah, I have yeah. orange toes, you know, because I'm stealing bisexual valor. There's no way yeah. I can really explain this to a 6-year-old.
It's all good for them to see. You
yeah.
know? Like they're out there and they're looking at, you know, Travis Kelce making friendship bracelets, you know, with his phone number on it and giving them to Taylor Swift at the concert.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing, that like simping, you know, that is non-traditional masculinity. Like this is a dude who in every way that he presents, right? He's like a big burly tight end on like
keeps
a
his
really
lines tight on his haircut. He's a
physical beast. Football player. Yeah, exactly. And he's out there just like openly going to make an overture. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are Swifties, and one in particular, and she goes off about this because she thinks like this is the thing that makes that relationship so important and why the culture is responding to it the way that they are, is because he totally put himself out there publicly. Yeah, he just, like, he admitted to it, and, you know, he made one of those silly little bracelets that they all give each other, and that's how he tried to get her attention, and it worked.
I know.
So you bet they're taking notes. You know, all these dudes are sitting there taking notes, thinking, like, oh, yeah.
It's so funny. It's so funny to hear, like, even anecdotally, all the people are like, they keep cutting away to Taylor Swift. It's like, she's more famous than every single person on the field. Like, it would have to be a very specific team for anyone even on the field to be close to her level of fame. Like, it's just not true. Like, and it's like, a lot of people, like, you know, crazy right wingers think it's like an op for Biden. And I think, if anything, it's a little... It benefits the NFL so much in a way that puts my little cynical capitalism hairs up on end, where I'm like, the NFL is like, last year they had a guy like die on the field, and everyone's like, is the end? Like, they brought him back to life, knock on wood that we never see it again. But it's like, we have the NFL. Is it gone? Is it too old? Is it gladiatorial? The next year it's like, hey, one of the most number one like recording artist of current times, who happens to have an insanely fervent female fan base, is dating an NFL player. Oh, is he on the championship team? You betcha. I mean, he also is gorgeous and like funny and charming, and he's got a good relationship with his brother. He's like on paper like a dream husband, like a dream boyfriend. I totally get it, but it does seem like him, Taylor, and the NFL all benefits. Maybe it's just so perfect in that way, but there's a touch of cynicism in me where I'm like, if this is staged, I will fucking flip out. I will.
Oh, dude, I'm right there with you. But I like it is. An article came out the other day that said all of this shit is estimates, you know. So again, the capitalism thing, right? It's like, is it real money or are we talking like projected earnings? But they said that the NFL and the Kansas City Chiefs have increased their value by like $330 million just as a result of Taylor Swift.
I know, like, just like cheap, like Kelce jerseys alone, like, so went up like 400% in like the first week.
People are going nuts.
It's awesome. Like, if football needed to be more popular in America.
Yeah, I mean, football has like, it has given it's given itself every chance to die over the last 20 years. Like, what they allow those players to do to their wives and their partners with no repercussions, the way that they allow them to like literally brutalize themselves.
Yeah, put their lives on the line for, like, you know, to sell army ads or whatever, to have younger poor people put their lives on the line for imperialism and all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. The way they completely sold out their own players, you know, Kaepernick and that whole situation. Yeah. I mean, they continue to, and then, like you said, last year, I mean, that was like a devastating, that was an awful thing to happen, and it should not happen, and we should not have like a system set up in our country where we're like, yeah, no, this is a totally fine thing. We're going to keep doing it. It's not going to happen again. Don't worry about it. Like, if that happened in any other area, unless it involved guns, like, people would have freaked out and we would have put a stop to it right away.
Right.
But, you know, so then, like you said, here we are, you know, we've got them back in the, looking like the golden boys once again, thanks to Taylor Swift. It was powerful.
We briefly had Michael Sams, who was a gay NFL player, an out gay NFL player. But you heard a few of those, like, fucking classic, like, you know, it's too much. We need to focus in the locker room. Like, we can't have, like, the buzz.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's like, we'll sign Aaron Rodgers.
Like, exactly.
We can't have Colin Kaepernick. He's too much of, like, a media lightning rod. And it's like, but you'll take Aaron Rodgers. Okay, who calls Jimmy Kimmel a pedo or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll take this guy who slapped someone on camera. We'll take this guy who's, you know, maybe like, he's been on trial for manslaughter. But this gay guy might bring too much, like, weird eyeballs onto the, and it's like, listen to what you're saying. Also, if you're truly a coach and you just really only care about winning, and a gay guy is very good at wide receiver or, you know, long snapper, you're not going to fucking leave this guy on the IR. You're not going to leave this guy on the table, this person on the table. And that's what drives me fucking crazy, is that it's like, if we opened that up a little bit, first of all, someone in the NFL is gay right now. Like, there's at
Without
minimum one person
Without
is gay.
A doubt. Yeah.
Like, it just can't be that many men and not have one of them be homosexual. It's just, like, nearly impossible.
Well, we had a couple seasons ago at Carl Nassib, right?
He
played both for the Raiders, and I think he was on the Niners when he came out. And then I think he got traded to the Raiders, and he played his last season, though. I was talking to my buddy, and I was like, I hope he comes back in. He was like, dude, if you looked at his Instagram, he was like posting pictures of him and his partner on the beach. This was like a month before the season started. I'm such an idiot. I hadn't even put it together. He's like, he's not playing football anymore. Right. Like, he's literally on a beach with this like hot dude.
He
like,
is
he's
what
done.
They call living his best life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, you'd like to think that these, you know, that. But I don't know. I do think that coaches and organizations like that, like, they are very sensitive. Like, capitalism is king. They are very sensitive to anything rocking the boat.
There's too many, like, shareholders involved, like, for, like, a coach to be, like, you know, like, there's, like, we keep hearing things like, the first woman coach in this position in the NFL, and it's, like, you don't need to have played in the NFL to be a coach. Like, so if this woman understands, you know, why, you know, special teams, she could be the special teams coach. Like, like, it's not I think every step of the way that just chips at, like, what they believe this story. And when people come in, and hell doesn't swallow the stadium, the Super Bowl stadium, when a gay quarterback plays, like, every time that happens, like, and the NFL is so, it's such a microcosm of, like, society in a way, with, like, the moneyed people up in a high thing watching the games and making more money than anyone out there, who are making a ton of money but are risking their lives and their livelihood and their futures for the entertainment of people who are spending a lot of money to watch. Like, there's just so much money being thrown around that to shut off that money hose when you go to TD AmeriCorps thing for the U.S. Army uniform night to raise money for the Breast Cancer Foundation for blank. It's like, if a gay guy makes two people shut off the TV, which it could, like, that's in the owner's mind, and that's what bothers me. It's like all this, like, everything's just the fucking bottom line at the end. It's not actually about winning. It's not actually about X's and O's like everyone wants to pretend it is. It's about dollar signs, and that's fucking, that's frustrating that they to pretend it's not, to pretend it's like,
and they're not going to lose. You're not going to lose audience.
No.
I mean, look at all the insane things that have happened. And like we've pointed out, I mean, football is gay.
Right.
Like, it is gay.
You would arguably, like Taylor Swift is bringing in eyeballs. And if all of a sudden you had, like, a female pop star who had a huge female and gay fan base, you would be like, that's going to make football a little gayer. All it's done is make football more popular. It has not changed. No one is coming out of the closet because Taylor Swift is at a Chiefs game. Like, but, like, it's only made it more popular. This is such a stupid example, but me and my wife and our best friends, two gay guys who are married, went to Vegas together, and we went to go see Thunder from Down Under, like the all-male Aussie dance review. thought it'd be fun and goofy, and it was. But something that drove me crazy was the dancers up there always were saying shit like, ladies, let's get people, you know, like making stools wet, make it like just all this stuff that was very, very heteronormative. And I'm looking around, and I'm probably one of three straight guys there, but there are a dozen men there, groups of what seems to be a group of gay guys out for the night. And I'm looking up there and I'm like, is your homophobia literally preventing you from selling more tickets? Like, capitalism should work on behalf of what's the word I'm looking for here? Diversity, open-mindedness, or whatever.
Or on behalf of the gays. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. However you want to say it.
Because it's like, you're men dancing with six packs and jeans. Like, you can double your audience if you just throw, lack of a better term, a bone to the gay guys. Like, all you have to say is like, and I know we got some boys out there too. They'll go fucking apeshit for that. But these guys.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
None of them are Australian. There's like one Australian guy who they make the MC, obviously. So he does all the talking. But no one else really. But I just couldn't get over it. I'm like, you're so not open-minded to the idea of gay guys watching this, but you are an all-male dance review that dances in like jeans and cowboy belts and oils yourself up and like does your hair and do makeup and self-tan, like, but you are like, won't acknowledge men in the crowd? If you did, you might make way more fucking money. Gay guys
most
drink
likely.
Well and party hard. And because of the way the way the world has been for so long, gay guys have, you know, transformed neighborhoods and cities. Like, gay people, I should say. When I say guys, I'm from the old school of, like, guys means everybody, but I'm trying to get that word out of my lexicon. Gay people change the vibe for positive in so many places. We being, like, culture in general, copy so much shit from gay people. Like, they are the pioneers of so much stuff, and we're still like, you better not fuck with football. It's like, no, please. What would football be if it had a huge gay fan base? I don't know, but I am so curious.
Probably better.
Yes, obviously.
Imagine the uniforms. I mean, let's not, like, we think that gay people aren't already designing the uniforms.
Right.
You know, like, that's part of it. It's like, you can stay in the shadows.
Right. You can, right? Behind the scenes, you could be the production designer, but you can't be the
star. We can't
have
you out front. Yeah, yeah. We can't have you, I don't like you halftime shows, right? This is, you know, something that I love talking about because it's pretty gay. I mean, I don't want to say that like straight people are not allowed to enjoy it, but like you're talking about getting, you know, these iconic pop stars out there, having them, you know, dressed to the nines. You've got like thousands of dancers,
three costume
and people
changes,
all around
dancers,
them. Yeah,
it's thematic.
You know, like the
Madonna did it, like, you know. If Madonna's doing your halftime show, you're admitting that you're courting gay people. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course. No, did you watch that one?
I did, because it was during a Giants game. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you're a Giants fan, right? So it was during a Giants game, so you watched it. But I mean, that one was rough for me. I mean, she was like 54 or something like that.
She was still dropping
it,
but
she remember, she had to walk. She had these really tall boots on. Mm-hmm. And she had to, like, walk down these giant steps that they built for her, and she slipped, and she almost fell.
It gave me a little anxiety watching it. Yeah.
It gave me a ton, and I was just like, girl, like, can you just, like, sit on a floating bed and, like, let them carry you around and just, like, you know, whip them or what, you know, whatever you need to do to, like, make it look like you're still powerful? I was, like, really freaked out by that. But certainly that was an homage to the game.
Right. It's like, you're probably at a Super Bowl party. Like, it would be like putting, like, in the Tony Awards, like, something for, like, straight baiting at halfway through. You're like, the Tony Awards
exactly.
breaks down halfway through and it's like an MMA fight. You're like, thank you.
Exactly.
We know who this is for.
Yeah. Just a 5-minute football game in the middle of the Tony Awards. Like,
Neil Patrick Harris is quarterbacking? I knew it.
No, he's definitely playing the wide receiver. Sorry, Neil. But yeah, I mean, you know, did you go to Madonna's concert?
No, I didn't. My wife had, I saw Madonna in Confessions in like 06 or 07 at Madison Square Garden. And that was an amazing show.
I love her so much, but she's like coming out like 3 hours late and she just looks insane.
Yeah.
And you just want to say like, dude, you got so much going for, I mean, if that's what you want to do, I guess what I'm, who am I to say?
I want her, like, I think I'm feeling the same thing as you, Zachary. Sorry to cut you off, but tell me if you feel the same way. I want her to be able to just relax if that's what she wants. Like, I feel like some people feel the need. Like, you know, you're just like, if I hope you're okay enough, like mentally and financially, that if you wanted to just not do this, you didn't have to. If you want to, go for it. It's going to be a little anxiety inducing, or maybe it's a little, you know, the shine is off the luster's off the shine with a little bit of how old. But if you really want to do it, go for it. I'm not here to stop you. You're going to sell $500 tickets and sell out stadiums. It doesn't matter. But I want you to be able to just live in a castle in Prague if that's what you want. Yeah.
Yeah, and like if it's really going that well, like why are you 3 hours late?
Yes, you know? Right.
Like,
why?
Like I get it. All right, you want to do an hour? Like, oh, that's so cool. Madonna's an hour late. She's got so much going on. But 3 hours? I really don't know if that was necessary.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, the poor thing. I hope she's doing all right now.
I'll report back after my wife goes. I'll find out what she thought of the Madonna show.
Yeah, well, tell your wife to bring snacks because
she's got low blood sugar too. You gotta comfort her.
Yeah, you gotta bring snacks. Are you excited for Usher?
I'm
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Who is excited for Usher?
It feels like one of those like decision by committee things where it's like he will offend the least amount of people or something like that, you know?
I guess so. Because
he's not like my mom. Highlights. When they do shit that I'm like, oh, I see. Like that, my mom would be excited to hear Bruce is doing the halftime show or you too.
The last time the Stones did it and they were like, even then they could barely walk.
Right.
You know, and you were like, oh, yeah, okay. But I can see like who they're doing this for.
Yeah, it makes sense for like NFL fandom. Like Usher.
Yeah.
But then they always do the thing like even with the Madonna one, they threw out, you know, Nicki and MIA and what's his name from The Voice? Whatever.
Oh, not the country guy.
No. Was it him? No. Fuck you and... Da, da, da. I wish I could. Oh. I can't think of that guy's name. The black dude.
Bruno Mars?
No.
CeeLo.
CeeLo, yes. CeeLo Green.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. He was out there too.
So I'm sure they're going to dress Usher up with some multi-generational people to like, you know, like.
Sure.
Yeah, he's going to have some
cameos. He's got a song right now with her.
Yeah, she H.E.R. will color pop purple. Out there for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, she's got to be there. Yeah. But I hope Little John. I mean, look, that song. That Yeah song, all I know is like the first night of my life I ever did cocaine. It was my 21st birthday. I was at the University of Michigan, Go Blue, national champion.
Hell yeah.
And I was
for
like,
listeners, Zachary has a Wolverine shirt on.
Thank you so much. And we were walking across the Diag, and it was like that night I like didn't want to go out drinking. I was like too tired. And my buddy was like, try this. And the next thing you know, I'm just like, this is the greatest night of my life. So I'm just screaming.
You're definitely 82 because when that Little John song came on in college, that shit was like, we're about to get fucking turnt in here.
Yeah, exactly. And then the only other thing I really remember about Usher is that he got colonics. Like there was this whole thing that came out about him where because he was always dancing shirtless and he had great abs. And they were like, oh, yeah, before every performance, Usher gets a colonic. And that was the first time I heard about that. And I was such a, you know, internal homophobe at that point. I was like, that's so gay. I can't believe it. Do you imagine? It's so gay. Imagine sticking something up your butt.
Before imagine every show, Usher does 7 days of the bottom diet. You're like, wait, what?
I know.
It's for performance
and now
only.
I'm like, wait, hold on. How does that work? You can do that and then what? Maybe I need to find one of those for my house. Well, I don't know. I hope he does well. I hope it's fun. I just saw today, I think Reba McEntire is doing the
National Anthem.
National Anthem.
Awesome. I know she's getting another sitcom, which I'm excited about too.
Oh, good, good, good. She's so good. That's a little gay, you know, having Reba come out there. It's a little gay. I get that it's like for the white country folks too, but like the fact that they're not self-aware enough to realize that it's also for the gays. It's like for the people they actually hate.
Like I love Dolly Parton because she has huge knockers. It's like, me too, bud, but. You know, are you familiar with Friends of Dolly, Friends of Darling? Like,
yeah. She did a halftime show on, I think it was a Thanksgiving, on the football game at Thanksgiving. She came out and she was dressed up. They had two halftime shows. One was, what's that guy's name? Now I can't remember it. He's like I'm not going to be able to remember the guy. He had a hit song, Jack Harlow.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a person?
That is a person.
Yeah, he had one. Look, I'm so hip, 41-year-old. What's his name?
Mr. You Jack know, the Harlow. Guy. He's the hip hopper.
Yeah, that's right, Jack Harlow. Well, he came out and like he was like standing in front of like a sheet. It looked like a iceberg, and he was like dancing, and it was so boring. And then you cut to the other channel, and it was like Dolly Parton, like decked out in a Dallas Cowboy, and I hate the Cowboys, but she looked so hot in this Cowboys outfit.
And she's like 70 or something. I'm like, Jesus Christ, she's still got this. Yeah.
Dancers everywhere. There's fireworks going off. You're just like, live, girl. Like, it was really fierce. So, that was pandering to the country crowd, but it's
low key, leaving a door open for the gays as well. Yeah,
it's also very, very gay.
Anytime it's like you're just getting into pop music, that is like, you know, that's like a gay fandom in a way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's funny. It's called pop because it's like a style of music, but it's also majorly popular. It's like, of course, the gays are steering that culture as well.
Yeah, of course, of course. I did a dive looking at all the halftime shows just because I was trying to talk about it on the podcast, and I was like, you know, really curious as to the origin story of all this stuff. And the origin of it is so gay. It was like, it was marching bands, which is like fine, but like the first like human that they had headline it was Carol Channing in the 1970s. Like, hello. You know, what are we doing? Like, if that's not for the theater folks, like, I don't know what
exactly.
is. They're just like, what are we going to do? Let's get the theater people to watch the Super Bowl.
Who knows live we'll performance better than Channing. Carol Channing? Get her out there at the first Super Bowl performance. So awesome. Yeah, before that, it was like all marching bands and shit. Then they were like, oh, wait, hold on.
They did one in 1995 that was, it was like Indiana Jones theme.
Yes, yes.
I was like, what are you doing? It was like Tony Bennett and like a bunch of people, but it was like purely just an ad spot for Indiana Jones. They must have paid a lot of money for that.
Oh, they had to have.
And it wasn't even a good one. It was like Temple of the whatever.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Forbidden Eye or something, you know, it was like, it wasn't a good, it wasn't like, you know, Temple of Doom or, you know,
I mean, it was probably, what's the third one? The Last Crusade, if it was in the 90s, right? The Sean Connery.
Yeah, movie. I mean.
Indy was the dog's name. Zach, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty. This has been a fucking blast.
Dude, I had such a good time. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Why don't you tell, the classic quid pro quo of podcasting. Plug what you
there.
Got going on. Let these people know where they can track down find your shit and stuff like that.
You can find me on Instagram at Zach Boothdorf. We got this great podcast, Out of the Closet Sports. There's 12 episodes up now. We're just talking about all things sports from the gay perspective. It's funny. It's serious. It's pretty stupid, but we're having a good time. That's for sure. And then, hey, if you haven't seen it yet, go check out Maestro on Netflix. I got a good part in that. It's a great movie about Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, who do you play in it so people can seek you?
I play this character, Mendy Wager. It's one of the friends of Felicia and Lenny Bernstein. And then coming up on the 14th, I get to perform at New York Philharmonic. Me and Carey Mulligan are going to sing a song together with the New York Phil.
Oh, so that's so awesome.
Jazz. Asked about that. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to rewatch the movie now that I know you as a human being. That's so exciting.
Yeah, yeah, you'll be like, oh, that's that guy.
Oh, dude, congrats, man. That's awesome. And that'll be really fun. Tell Carrie I said hi. She doesn't know who I am, but just pass it along.
No, I'll just play her. I'll just play her the podcast in rehearsal.
Like, like Garden State. I want you to listen to this. Yeah. Put on headphones and it's me going, what's up, shitheads? You're like,
that's awesome. I love it.
As for me, listeners, you know where to find me. I got my other podcast, Action Boys, and check out 101 Places to Party Before You Die. Somehow still on Max. They haven't taken it down. Do not stop watching it. Let them know that we would love to do another. We only got to 8 of the 101 places, so we have 93 more to do. Help us out. Bye, shitheads.
I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!